This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
And it is time again for Tech Plus. A very good afternoon to you, or good evening, or good morning, whatever it is. Saubona, unjani wena.
All the hellos.
Yes, hello Kane, hoe gaan het met jou man?
Oh, it's going well, thanks eh. I mean,
nee, je moet een Afrikaans antwoord.
Ah, ik kan niet dit doen. Het is een big probleem voor mij. Om Afrikaans te praten.
No, it sounds good. Well, you must come to me for training. No, it sounds good actually. You know, the English people, they don't say, like, when they will say, I kan niet, they will say, let's use a different example. Ek kan dit nie doen nie. So they forget the nie at the end. So they will say, ek kan dit nie doen. And then they stop.
Yeah.
But you said the nie at the end, so I'm quite impressed. Well done.
Yeah, school was tough. I had to break 50%.
How did you do in Afrikaans oral?
Horribly. I think at one time I had to do like a comprehension or whatever of what I read actually wasn't the story at all. I think it was because I was just taking pieces things I understood. Yeah. Yeah, no, I was on the completely wrong track.
Listen, somebody said to me we must be careful when we say L word because apparently it means something else. And I was like, what? I have a few things that I can think of. But anyway, so the power situation, I mean, what a week it's been. It's been a really challenging week. I mean, we went from stage 4, then we went to stage 3, and now we're scaling down to stage 2. But it's been challenging, eh? How's your week been?
Can't they just put us on stage 6 for like a week straight, and then we just chill at stage 1 for the rest of our year?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's horrible because I'm currently dealing with, you know, 4 to 6 hours worth of no power every
day. Yeah, and it's obviously, it's causing a lot of stress for you because you also work with deadlines and clients in different time zones. And
yeah.
I mean, how do you cope?
Well, you see, the thing is, you can take the initiative and have the laptops and things like that, but eventually, sometimes, you know, mismanagement or poor planning or not checking the load shedding schedule will result in you having an uncharged device during load shedding.
Yeah.
Then you can go and you can write on a piece of paper, but you can't exactly access Microsoft PowerPoint on a piece of paper. You know, you can't Photoshop on a piece of paper. So it becomes exceptionally challenging to do certain degrees of work. And then anything you do on paper, if you work online, you actually have to digitize that.
Yeah,
and it's not as simple as scanning it on your on your printer, you know.
Your overseas clients, do you tell them that there's load shedding?
They can't believe it. No, they don't understand.
They're like, what's load shedding?
Like, how did they don't even
what are you talking about?
How we pay for electricity and still get load shed. Like,
yeah.
We pay for something that they cut off.
Because they don't have that problem.
Yeah, but I read I don't know if it was you that might have shared it with me, but I read that study of what will happen if...
Yes, that was me.
If load shedding doesn't take place. And I thought it was very interesting because they didn't say, oh yeah, you know, we might run out of power, but they actually kind of compared the generation facilities, the power plants, to like capacitors that can help output a voltage.
Yes.
Or an ampage. Like if you go to your switchboard in your house, you have like a 30 ampere switch, and if you draw more than 30 amps from
trip.
That switch, it's gonna blow up or explode or short circuit. And like the severity of it is determined by how much more draw there is.
Yes.
So if generation units fail and they're acting as capacitors and the grid is drawing more power than those capacitors can handle, then you go into a point where you break down for 3 to 6 weeks.
That's exactly what they said. And did you see how long it will take for the entire power grid to collapse? 60 seconds.
60 seconds of overdraw.
1 minute and we're screwed.
I think the problem is much bigger than we expect. You know,
yes,
it's not like we don't have enough power. We might go under an extra 2 hours load shedding. It's like we're going to have a blackout for 2 to 3 weeks.
Do you feel like hearing a flow joke? Yeah.
What is that?
It's not really funny.
It's
but
like
it's
a dad
funny
joke.
It's like a dad joke. Yes, exactly. Eskom CEO, you know him, Andre de Reiter,
yes,
has handed temporary running of Eskom to his sister. generator.
Just so, just like suck me in.
Generator. Get it?
Generator.
Oh, you got it now. Yeah, listen.
I thought you were serious.
No, no, no. Well, you know, anything's possible.
So it's not a. I'm thinking.
No, it's not true. But it's just, it's quite funny.
Generator. It took me a minute to get that.
But listen, I feel sorry for that man. I've watched him on news conferences all week. He's been on there for more than an hour at a time. And, I mean, that must be an incredibly stressful job. I mean, people are now calling for his resignation. But can we just say that the ship was sinking when he came on the ship? And now you want to... what do you call it? The sailor.
Operator, the captain.
Yes, the captain. Yeah. I've got COVID brain again today. The captain who wants to actually save it they want to throw him overboard and it's already sinking. You know, it's not fair.
I think it's not, but at the same time, I think everyone also forgets that this is a problem because of 30 years of mismaintenance. It's poor maintenance ongoing for 30 years and now you sit with this big issue. Because if you think about it, there's probably a lot of moving parts within a power generation facility, whether it's conveyor belts, whether it's temperature regulators, whether it's pressure regulators, whether it's high pressure release valves. I don't know what goes into a power plant, but I'm sure there's a lot of intricate systems.
I know there's a lot of steam, that's all.
There's a lot of steam, that's another one. But at the end of the day, if you don't serve and maintain each of those systems and do it in such a way that it's actually a preventative measure for problems that could appear, you know, checking each and every subsystem within your power plant and making sure that this is functioning properly, this has a long-term, you know, capability still left in it, it hasn't reached its hours of service time which it has been labeled as able to complete with no issues. And now I think we're in this point where instead of actually servicing the power plants, which means going and checking each and every individual subsystem and making sure that they're working, we are now fixing every single subsystem when it fails as it fails.
Yeah.
So it's not a preemptive thing, it's a situational solution which is only dependent on whatever breaks.
Yeah,
so it's a completely different
service. I like the analogy of Eskom's derator, who said Eskom is an old car that needs to be replaced, not fixed. I mean, you know when you're driving an old skedonk and it's falling apart and then every week you just fix one thing and then next week the door falls off. And then the week after your engine falls out while you're driving, you know, it's just going to collapse.
If only we had a power plant dealership, you know, you take your power plant and you get a new power plant out, you pay a bit in.
Yeah. Sure.
But unfortunately, these things are obviously big pieces of machinery that
are
very
massive.
But South Africa, I had a look, I think we're number 7 in the most pollution emissions, negative emissions that damage the environment. But China is about 20 times greater than South Africa in terms of global emissions.
I always thought China was the big sinner.
Oh yeah, no,
they used to
be. There's a lot of pollution in China. Yeah. And it's not like, oh, the Chinese live to pollute. Like their industry revolves around high emission
activities.
Yeah,
I mean, just pick up something, it will say made in China.
Exactly, they're producing a lot.
Massive, yeah.
And they're like, if we were like a circuit board, they're like the little manufacturing plant. You know, they just manufacture on Earth
all the time.
Manufacture. So it's not like South Africa where our pollution comes from electricity generation. Their pollution might come from electricity generation for production. You know, I don't know how much we actually produce as a nation compared to someone like China. And USA also up there in the big emissions. And yeah, no, it's a definite problem. We're actually going to talk a little bit about some climate change related things. There was a study done over 24,000 years looking at the temperature every 200 years to see what is the result? What's our net result? Where are we at in that
it's
scale?
It's climbing, and the water is rising as well, eh?
Exactly. But I even have something else to go over regarding Meta. But I think first we should start out just talking about Netflix's gaming.
Yes!
Did you try it?
Last week you spoke about it, and then this morning I checked it out, and I opened one of the games. Well, I didn't see it on my media box. It was on my phone app. And
right.
I was like, oh, yes, a new tab. So it updated itself, I think, and it said games. I was like, okay, games. And I thought, oh, how much do you want? Because I thought they're going to charge me for it. And then I opened one of the games, and it started playing. Then I got a phone call and
I got distracted,
yeah. And then the game was gone. But anyway, what did you check it out?
I did, and I have one negative and one positive. So when I first heard that Netflix had a gaming functionality coming into play, I thought, hey, you know, you're going to be on Netflix, you're going to be in a low signal area where you don't have you don't have internet, or the internet is very, very slow, and you can play a game to pass the time. So I thought the gaming aspect would actually be inside the Netflix app.
Yeah.
That was my first thought. Mm. But upon further investigation, I actually found that the Netflix app is acting as a directory to games on the Play Store.
Yeah.
So Netflix Inc., the game developers corporation, which they've titled themselves on the Play Store, the iOS Store, they create games and put it on the Play Store, and then from your Netflix app you go to there.
I thought it was inside Netflix itself.
Yeah, I thought it would be like a little cool arcadey style game. Yes. Within the app, but it's
that
not.
That was exactly what I thought, yeah.
And I also saw that one of the games that I downloaded it was called Card Clash or something, was 124 megabytes.
It was quite big if you're on a limited plan.
Well, if you're going to play a game because you don't have internet, playing that game is going to be costly, you know, to download. But then I saw a positive, which is actually you sign into the game with your Netflix profile.
Okay.
So if you have Netflix on your phone,
your levels
exactly,
and whatever.
Under your Netflix profile. So if you have five profiles or whatever, then you can go and play on those individual profiles, which is cool because you could pass the phone along to someone else. They could go into their Netflix-related profile.
What was the game like that you played?
The one I played the most was a card-based game, which reminded me a little bit of Solitaire. But it's to make it simple, there's a deck of cards at the bottom of the screen. Every few seconds a new card pops up onto the deck. There can only be 7 or 8 cards at a single time, and you basically have to take those cards and create pairs or a full house or double pairs or a 4 of a kind, and so you earn points. And then there's different levels, a bit like Candy Crush.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, you could actually get sucked in here. It's an arcadey style game.
Is it addictive
game.
Or not?
I'm not playing it at the moment. That addictive.
Imagine you came in here today and you were sitting with your phone all the time. Like, Kayle, what are you talking about?
But I think there's definitely an avenue. I would like to, on next week's show, I'm going to specifically look for some collaborative games, multiplayer games, games that you can play with your other Netflix friends, you know, other friends that have the Netflix app.
Is that possible at the moment?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen
so
multiplayer
if it is,
things.
Someone in the audience can just send us a WhatsApp and let us know.
I hope so.
But as not as far as I know.
It's
but
not
I
nice
think
when you play alone.
There's an up and a down. The up is you can sign in with your Netflix profile. The down is it's actually not within Netflix. It's on the Play Store. You have to go to the Play Store and download every single game. So there's no real difference. And I think it also means you could probably play those games without a Netflix account. I don't actually know. If you could find them on the Play Store, could you play them without a Netflix account? And then in that fashion, Netflix is actually just broadening their spectrum of software, which is from a TV streaming site to gaming as well.
If you want to get in touch during the course of the show, maybe you want us to talk about something, answer a question, we'll try our best. 081-060-1640. Just don't ask me anything about load shedding or when your area is going off. I don't know. Just I'll tell you to download Eskom's a push. or directory. Don't ask me to be your directory inquiry and ask for somebody's number. 081-060-1640. Kane, I suppose the next story doesn't come as a surprise when I tell you that MultiChoice is still bleeding subscribers in its premium market segment. Despite the return of one of the biggest drivers for DStv Premium, rugby, people are still cancelling DStv Premium. They thought, you know, that the rugby would be the big draw card. So my question is, are they fighting a losing battle here? It sounds like
it. I think so. It's a sinking ship. It really is.
Another one.
There's no space for that anymore. I mean look at the price of DStv, 900 rand, 1000 rand, price of Netflix, 130 rand. You know, the only benefit you're getting from DStv over Netflix at this point as a subscriber is you might find a show that you didn't expect to watch on Netflix. But every other streaming service, every other entertainment service is all you choose what you watch, and DStv is still you watch what they've chosen. So it's a bit of a catch-22 for them, I think.
People want to be in control of what they watch and what they listen to. I see MultiChoice lost over 100,000 subscribers across its Premium Compact and Compact Plus packages. And a lot of those subscribers said that they would return when sport is back, but now it looks like it's not happening. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've got their decoders are now, their decoders are now merged, and it's got YouTube on it and all that stuff, but it's not working.
They try to go the TV box, you know, make your normal everyday TV into a smart TV, but that can also just be replaced with a 1,000 rand once-off payment, so then that's not going to work. You know, then they might even offer Netflix within the DStv decoder, which might work, but then again, you have smart TVs, so not everybody is going to be interested in that. They're just not hitting a niche. They're not hitting something that is wow, I need that in my life, you know?
Okay, if you had to be in charge of DStv right now, you are the new CEO, Kane. What are you going to do? This is quite an interesting
business
question.
Business rescue.
Really? What are you going to do? Okay, obviously the year is basically finished. So what are you doing from January to save the company?
To save DStv,
yes.
What would I do?
Yes. I know I'm putting you on the spot now. You need to go and look at your figures and all that stuff. But
you don't know what their licensing requirements are. But the first thing I would try and do is remove the box office thing. Because if you go onto DStv, you try to watch a new movie, you pay 25, 30 rand.
Yes.
Which means you can watch 7 movies for the same price as a Netflix subscription. And those movies are on Netflix. So
are those movies on Netflix as well?
Of course they're going to be on Netflix as well. Some of them, obviously.
But they've got exclusives sometimes that you don't find on Netflix. I mean, then you will pay that 25 or 30 rand.
Let's go back to the drawing board here. How many times have you rushed to DStv to watch an exclusive movie on DStv? I've never done it in my life.
No, you know? I did it when I still had the full package, and that was like 4 or 5 years ago.
I would try and build a model that could cover fees, but be more competitive with Netflix. So I might do away with certain things that are costing a lot of money, but still provide a service that is relatively affordable. And they're trying to do that, I get that, but it's far too much money. That's why I say the technology, the licensing requirements.
Would you still go with the dishes, or would you switch to streaming only?
The thing is, the dishes are there. They've all been installed across hundreds of houses, and that's expenditure, and that's why I say it's a sinking ship, because what can you do?
Those dishes are actually destructing themselves, so they're falling off places.
Yeah, I saw one lying
on the
ground the other day.
Yeah, they just fall off. It's like, I also saw one that fell off, and I was like, isn't it very symbolic of what's happening? The dishes are now falling off as well.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't know what to do to fix
the problem. You have to move with the times. And I mean, look at the times we're living in and how advanced everything is. And how the pandemic accelerated it.
It's like me coming to you and saying, well, you know, how would you save V's video?
Shame.
Yeah, what do you...
that's sad. It's like, what's the one overseas Blockbuster?
Yeah.
People are still sad about that because those massive premises are still empty.
Wow.
To this day, and they miss it. Going there on Friday nights, sitting on the floor, trying to get down...
And find a movie.
And look for the movies. I also miss that, actually.
In Nazna, the Papa's Pizzeria place, they have the... You can rent DStv's DVDs when you go order your pizza at Papa's. So turn V's video into a fast food chain.
Hey, that's a good idea.
That is not a bad idea. You
Yes, get them to come and buy something else, and then, hey, want a DVD?
Get a free movie. But the thing is, some of the computers that I've bought in the last 3 years the laptops don't even come with a DVD ROM.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember the last time I even took out a DVD and put it into a DVD machine.
Some of them even come without USB slots. That's a bit of a problem for me.
That's a big problem.
But
you get those Thunderbolt connections, which actually you can plug a USB extension of like 6 or 8 USBs, because it's like 15 times faster than a USB or something like that, which I found was very interesting. But you want to hear what's also very interesting? It's another company has accused Facebook of stealing its name.
I saw that. How did Zuckerberg not freaking do his research?
That's the thing. They did do their research, and they try to buy
the
domain registration and the name from the other Meta company. And the other Meta company said, no, you're not buying this from us. And what he went and did it anyway. He just changed his name to Meta and did it anyway. regardless of the copyright infringement.
But I mean, they obviously offered, Zuckerberg obviously offered them a massive amount of money. Why didn't they just
say
yes?
They said it wasn't enough.
Are they,
so let's get into the story. So a Chicago-based tech firm, so this is obviously in America, called Meta Company, is going to court against Facebook, alleging that the social network stole its name and livelihood after it rebranded its name to Meta. Meta Company founder Nate Skillick alleged that when Facebook failed to buy them, it aimed to bury the company by force of media. On October 28th, Facebook decided to commit trademark infringement and call themselves Meta. They couldn't buy us, so they tried to bury us by force of media. We shouldn't be surprised by these actions from a company that continually says one thing and does the other. Meta Company has decided to take legal action against Facebook. And he also said this message may be regarded as a public cease and desist. Meta, the former Facebook company, was yet to react to these allegations. Facebook and its operating offices are deceitful and acting in bad faith, not only towards us, but to all of humanity. So this guy, I think when he was talking to the media, he was angry. You know?
Yeah.
This man hadn't had breakfast. It was 4 p.m. and he was just going off. Facing these intense scrutiny over users' data privacy, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg last month announced that his company will have a new name, Meta. Somewhat predictably, Zuckerberg downplayed that as this is a rebranding. The first in Facebook's 17 years of existence was to divert a barrage of bad PR. The name Facebook doesn't fully encompass everything that the company does now and is still closely linked to one product. So I'm thinking, wow. Yeah, you know, how heavy is this? There was another company that Facebook also approached to buy the name, and they Meta PC. They called Meta PC, and they made a joke on Twitter, actually, Joe Danger and Zach Schutt, posted a video on Twitter jokingly revealing their name change from Meta PC to Facebook.
I like that. That's a nice marketing kind of plan there.
Yeah, that was a little bit better, but wow, you know, Facebook, that's ballsy.
Yeah, but listen, like I saw a very scary caricature of Zuckerberg.
Jeez.
And it's actually not too far off, eh? What the meme is saying, look at in 2004, a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Zuckerberg said, I will create an enjoyable and fun experience for people to connect with each other free of ads, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Then in 2021, look at him now. He says, my multi-billion... Okay, obviously, it's just a meme, you know, but yeah. It's basically what he's standing for. My multi-billion dollar universe will remove you from reality. I will censor and remove all your free speech, deny you access to independent news, record all your thoughts and beliefs, and track your every movement.
How it changes.
And how accurate, isn't it?
Huh? And they're kind of, that's kind of the direction they're going when you put it out there.
It's the metaverse thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a bit concerned about that, actually. I think I'm getting too... I said on Facebook, I think I'm getting too old for this stuff now. Seriously.
Yeah, Zuckerberg definitely taking a chance there. But do you want to hear who else is taking a chance?
Ever.
Elon Musk has gone to Twitter and he said... And he posted a poll.
I saw that, yeah.
And he says he will sell $24 billion worth of Tesla stock if Twitter tells him to. If Twitter votes yes on his poll, which is still active and is currently in the yes, there's more people saying yes than no right now.
Really?
And if it concludes, he will sell $24 billion of Tesla stock. And the reason that he's doing this is because people have accused him and some other ultra wealthy people that they don't pay tax. Because there's actually a term for it, because most of these very, very wealthy people, they have money inside of stocks. That's where they've hedged funds and they've hedged in assets and things like that. So these billionaires, their net worth fluctuates constantly, based on the market, based on the stock price, based on the US dollar and all that sort of stuff. It can fluctuate by billions. And this is known as unrealized gains. And these people don't have to pay tax on unrealized gains. So once your gains are realized, you have to pay tax on it. So that's why Elon Musk is saying, I will sell 10% of my Tesla shares, which is crazily $24 billion. I will sell 10% of my shares and I will pay tax on it if Twitter tells me to. That's also when he also made another thing that if the United Nations can depict and convey exactly how they would use a percentage of Elon Musk's net worth, I think it was $4 billion, to solve world hunger, he'll pay it. So he's like, he's a bit of a madman behind the Twitter wheel, you know, at the moment.
Yeah, but he's always been like that. He's very impulsive on Twitter, you know, and sometimes it's to his detriment.
Yeah, he says he'll do whatever the Twitter poll results in. He'll sell $24 billion worth of Tesla. Can you imagine what selling $24 billion worth of Tesla stock is going to do to Tesla shares? Tesla shares are already dropping because of fear of that happening. Because to dump $24 billion or to pull $24 billion worth of the company out, you know, you don't have enough people who are actively trying to buy Tesla stock to just keep that price stable. It's going to go down. The price is going to go down because a large amount of money is being sold, which means the first amount of money will be sold at the current price. The second amount of money will be sold at a lower price because people want to buy it at a lower price, not at a higher price. And so the value of Tesla will go down somewhat to a degree, which is pretty crazy, you know, just going to Twitter and saying something like that. He's definitely not afraid to make big moves.
Yeah, but listen, that's interesting. Staying with the Tesla stories, did you know that obviously we don't have Tesla vehicles available in South Africa for sale, but a local company, Rubicon, made headlines earlier this year when it's an energy and e-mobility business. They announced that it would be importing the first ever Tesla in the country. And it's a very expensive and complex process, as you can imagine. Guess how much... Okay, so they brought the car to the country for people to also have the opportunity to see up close what the electric future looks like. And it is, it's beautiful. It looks beautiful, like your basic sedan. Mm. But guess how much it's selling for?
In South Africa or...?
In South Africa now. So it's been imported. A 2021 Tesla Model 3 Model 3 dual motor for sale. It's in KZN.
2.5 million rand.
Hey, not too shabby, Nige. 2.2.
2.2 million. Yeah. Rand. Wow.
So, I mean, you can get a nice house for that price.
Yeah.
Unless you want to sleep in your Tesla.
But the ultimate challenge is, how do you charge it?
Yeah.
Let's be real for a second here. When Teslas have to come into South Africa, the biggest challenge is actually creating new petrol stations, because you can't just fill your Tesla with petrol.
Charging stations. And even if you have a charging station, you don't know if it's going to be on because of the situation in our country.
And I think a Tesla has about 400 kilometers on the clock fully charged.
Oh, really?
So you can get from... If you leave from Knysna right now with your Tesla fully charged, you will land up 100 kilometers away from Cape Town, battery flat, nowhere to charge it.
Imagine, now you're stuck there.
Stuck!
and you're like, what now? Because you can't just get somebody to bring you some petrol from the nearest station.
Just ask him to tow you the last 100 kilometers.
What would you do? I mean, yeah, that would be a terrible thing. I mean, obviously you have to do your planning, otherwise you're going to end up stranded like that.
Well, you were just talking about power banks. I mean, what kind of... You see a power trailer, you know?
Yeah, imagine. And how long does it take to charge one of those cars?
I think it's relatively quick, but obviously, I don't know about South Africa, because USA works on different power standards, you know? So they could be able to draw more. And those cables are thick. You're charging a large amount of batteries.
Imagine, and there must be a lot of heat involved as well, I imagine.
With the charging, I'm not sure, but it definitely...
Imagine all that...
We've seen them burn. You don't want them to get hot.
Yeah, and the swimming pools. But I mean, imagine the current it's drawing. Imagine if we all had to get Teslas now. What would Eskom say? Hey, please unplug your Tesla. We're battling here. It looks like they're still waiting for that money, by the way, for the renewable energy.
Really?
So that's not happening yet.
Well, speaking of renewable energy, remember we spoke yesterday or last week about Amazon launching solar plants in Northern Cape?
Yes.
Well, they've just... it's just started harvesting green energy. So as the country's plunged into the latest round of load shedding, Amazon Web Services, based in the Northern Cape, began receiving renewable power from its new solar plant. The plant was recently completed and it had a capacity of 10 megawatts. They also go on to say, don't get too excited though. The shiny new renewable energy plant was constructed to generate up to 28,000 megawatts of power per year for the US-based company's local server farms. In addition, in its line with South Africa's 2030 renewable energy goals, according to the company, the amount of power it's generating could easily power up to 8,000 South African homes in a year.
Sure.
Not bad, eh?
No.
And they're actually going to feed that back into the grid.
Yo.
So that's very beneficial. And ShopRite, a look at their massive solar plans, which aims to get the company off Eskom's grid. The ShopRite group aims to power 25% of its operations with renewable energy over the next 5 years and has added 22 new solar power sites between February and September 2021. Which more than doubled their solar capacity. This is in line with a strategy to mitigate climate change, in which solar PV rollout and procurement, including a significant number of solar-powered refrigerated trucks and trailers, plays a significant role, the group said in a statement on Wednesday, 10 November. Sustainability manager Sanjeev said the group is intent on reducing its indirect greenhouse gas emissions by using more renewable energy and continually improving energy efficiency to manage its electricity costs, which approaches, just guess how much ShopRite's electricity costs are per year.
At the moment, using normal power.
Normal power.
Oh no, it must be astronomical.
Guess.
Like millions.
More.
What's it? Billions?
2.5 billion rand.
Just to keep the lights on.
A year.
And those are fluorescent lights. Okay, obviously their fridges draw a lot of power as well.
You go and you get a cold Coke, you don't see the 2.5 billion that's been lost to bring that cold Coke to you.
Jeez, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
And they want 25% of that power to come from renewable energy sources, which they're building.
Well, it's a good investment.
So they got a couple of rugby fields worth of solar panels right now.
Wow, okay. Well, it's going to pay off in the long run, and they'll be immune to load shedding, which
absolutely.
Is good. Just quickly, did you see, you know, obviously Squid Game, did you watch the entire series?
No.
Not?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I finished it, yeah.
Okay, you finished it and you liked it?
I did.
It's good.
I thought it was very interesting. Big plot twist right at the end.
Yeah, it was quite big. And guess what?
What?
There's a season 2 coming.
What?
Yep.
I thought the guy didn't want to do his season 2.
No, man, money talks.
Money talks.
Yes, bit of money, hey, dude. Your show's doing well on Netflix. Let's double whatever we gave you to make it. So, you know, when you only write a season 1 of a show and Netflix tells you your show is a success, you bloody write a second series. You'll make a plan. And I mean, this is amazing because this guy at one stage, the guy who wrote it, he actually had to sell his laptop at one stage and stop writing for money.
Yeah.
So look at him now, rolling in cash, and his show's doing so well.
Getting paid lots of money to write a second season.
Yeah.
You can't ask for more.
And that's happening next year. We'll see it sometime next year already, if
that
everything goes according to plan. Yeah.
I can't imagine it's too difficult to film. Not too much CGI happening.
No.
No?
No. So I still
very
can't even talk about that. Yeah, I still can't talk about that glass floor scene. That's actually, it haunted my nightmares.
Really? Hey?
Yeah, it haunted my dreams.
I couldn't think of any worse torture than doing that.
Yes.
But do you want to know something about Hyundai? They've developed a new technology for cars.
Yes, what
something
can it do?
You would never believe.
Can it fly?
It can move sideways.
No.
New technology that turns the wheels 90 degrees on its axis.
Hey, dude, so you parked in front of my garage. Mine's just going a bit to the left. So you don't have to... Really?
Yeah.
You don't have to reverse and go forward again. No, you can just go...
Your Sorry. Wheels just go sideways and you
no.
Move. Yeah.
So it looks like a trolley.
It does. It's like a trolley, you know. They should call it the trolley.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be like those stubborn trolleys you get in the supermarkets. The one wheel is always faulty.
I saw a meme the other day. I think it was in South Africa where somehow they didn't have a wheel. I think it broke or it got punctured. So they
the
put
car.
A trolley underneath.
Yes, that
in
car.
The wheel spot.
That is that golf.
Green, like this little green
golf.
Guy.
Yes, Volkswagen Golf was driving in... It was in Cape Town, eh?
Yeah, and they were driving it with a trolley and you just checked those little wheels.
And it freaking worked.
It worked. I wouldn't want to drive in that car and be like, yeah,
no.
I'll skip this one.
Yes, imagine if it fell.
No ways. But here's a picture of the sideways car. You can see that this wheel is actually literally sideways.
But I don't like that. It looks like something you will have in a big warehouse where they will move something for you.
But they said that the application is obviously focused on people, like it's a utility for people, but it's even more focused on trucks.
Okay, I can see it's more industrial, yeah.
Yeah, people carriers makes a big difference because a truck literally can just park with enough space to go into a side parking of the road and literally just drive itself in there without having to do parallel parking, 25 point turn, you know.
Oh, well, that's, I was picturing this car, this cute little white car with wheels and go sideways, parked in front of a garage.
You best believe you're going to be on the highway and you're going to see someone driving sideways down the highway.
Imagine somebody's driving drunk and they're driving sideways.
I wouldn't know what to think of it.
Oh, I would imagine. Listen, we're living in ridiculous times, so I'm not even surprised.
This is your guy driving a car facing left. There the car goes. How cool.
Yo.
So yeah, that's something very, very interesting on the agenda. I'm keen to see those potentially come into South Africa.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, a SpaceX NASA crew just flew out off to the International Space Station just a few days ago, on Wednesday, I think it was, yesterday. The Falcon 9 rocket propelled the Crew Dragon Endurance spacecraft with astronauts Raja Chari, Tom Marshburn and Kayla Barron, as well as ESA's or European Space Agency astronaut Matthias Maurer into orbit to begin a 6-month science mission on the space station. So it's actually crazy how often people are going up into space. I wonder what it would look like as a wannabe astronaut in this current time. You know, if you lived in America and you wanted to be an astronaut, how much do you have to go through? And I thought about it the other day. What makes an astronaut? Is it a very smart person who can conduct scientific experiments and scientific hypothesis and conclusive data capturing? Or is it a person that can handle the force of going into space that also has some ability to read and write? You know, like what determines what's the most important value for an astronaut? Is it the ability to learn and understand and comprehend and conduct tests? Or is it the ability to handle high intense pressure zones and be able to actually carry their own weight in space, you know, and be able to not have their body fold in half or drown in a teaspoon of water or something ridiculous?
Can you go to the bathroom in space?
Difficulty.
Obviously, how do you go to the bathroom?
You can drown in space quite easily with a glass of water. It could just flow onto your head.
Oh my word,
you're
yes.
Done, you know, because there's no gravity.
They say space is like, you know what silence is. They say space is like so quiet, it's like you're deaf.
That's crazy. Yeah, well, there's no sound in space because there's no medium for sound to travel through. I watched a movie on Netflix. So I definitely advise people watch it. It was called Passengers. And one of the chicks was swimming in a pool. And then all of a sudden, the automated gravity kind of turned off. And the pool started rising. All the water in the pool started rising with her in it. And she was stuck in this mass of water.
What?
And you can't swim or propel yourself around, so it's kind of like a very odd problem to be in.
What a way to die.
Yeah, no.
It's like a thousand ways to die.
And it's like turned into like a sphere. Like all the water in the pool kind of turned into three little spheres, and she was stuck in the one. And then the gravity came back on, and she survived. But
I was going to ask you, she's still stuck there right now, or...
Well, I didn't want to get too many spoilers, but yeah, no, she walked out of that somehow.
Shame, man. That's hectic. That's really hectic. I feel for her.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, I would hate to be doing something like that. And you imagine swimming in an Olympic pool and suddenly Earth loses gravity. You're going to have a big problem to deal with.
Very big. Liquid problem.
And to finish it off, global temperature reconstruction over the last 24,000 years shows today's warming is unprecedented.
So it's hot today.
Yeah. So a University of Arizona-led effort to reconstruct Earth's climate since the last ice age, which was about 24,000 years ago, highlights the main drivers of climate change and how far out of bounds human activity has pushed the climate system. It verifies the main drivers of climate change since the last ice age are rising greenhouse gas concentrations and the retreat of the ice sheets. It also suggested a general warming trend over the last 10,000 years, settling a decade-long debate the paleoclimatology community about whether this period trended warmer or cooler, and the magnitude and rate of warming over the last 150 years far surpasses the magnitude and rate of change over the last 24,000 years. You just think about that, you realize there's definitely a correlation, meaning that the amount of change that happened in the last 23,850 years doesn't compare to the change over the last 150 years.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's, I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. Yeah.
The Earth has sat with minor climate heat increase for, you know, 23,850 years. And then all of a sudden, over 150 years, it explodes and starts climbing drastically for the last 150 years. And it even shows between the last 120 years and 150 years, meaning the last 30 years, it's even greater than that of the last 100 years. So, no, it's pretty concerning. We need to make a change, you know? And that, we just had the global climate conference in Glasgow. ESCOM was looking for some borrowers to give them some more money so that they can make some more renewable energy reserves and things like that. No, we definitely need to be making a change. But the thing is, you know who didn't show up to the climate conference in Glasgow? China.
Oh!
So that's like, and they're one of the biggest polluters. So the problem isn't just you, your kettle and your car.
Kettle.
You know, it's more of a big industrial issue regarding massive manufacturing units and things like that that we need to look at and focus on. The community can only raise awareness. The big companies need to feel pressure from the people, from the population, to erect a change. And it should actually become a thing where people don't use or buy products from people with bad green energy habits. Mm. They have negligence towards green energy, or they're abusers of non-renewable energy. We shouldn't actually be purchasing products from them. You know, it should be a thing, because then no business will do it.
It's just,
you can't make a business that doesn't turn revenue. And the only way that the people can make a change, you can't just stop using your car as much. There's nothing for us to do. But if you only buy products from companies that are advocating true green energy alternatives and actually tackling climate change, you can actually make a difference as an entire population, versus saying, you know, how dare you, I saw you drive from Spa to the neighborhood and back again, why'd you come back? You know, you can't, how much can you blame a person for climate change?
Some stuff needs to get done. You need to get to work, and even if you don't get to work in your car, you still need to go in a bus or something.
Yeah.
Cape Town's got one or two electric buses.
And there's only so much you can do. I mean, you can't go only buy beef of cows that don't fart. I mean, it's not an effective way to tackle climate change.
I never knew cow farts were such a problem.
Big problem. Massive problem.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Well, I didn't always know that, I should say.
Oh, no. Cows are actually pretty incredible. I mean, they can get nutrients out of grass. Let's see how long you survive on grass.
Oh, hell no. No, I won't go vegan, bro.
But is that it from us?
That's it from us for this week, Kane. Thank you so much. And until we meet again.
Absolutely.
That sounds funny.
I hope we go back to like a nice stage one load shedding. But see, I can say load shedding now because we're in it. The problem is here. It's all right. Yeah. You know?
So maybe it's like an antidote now. Maybe it's going to cancel load shedding now.
Yeah, no more load shedding.
Yeah.
I hope so. Fingers crossed. Let's see what happens.
Kane, thank you so much. Another week of Tech Plus, and we'll do it again next week. Same time, same place.
Fantastic.
You enjoy the rest of your week and also weekend, Kane.
You too, Ian. And thanks to all of our listeners for listening in. I'll see you next week.
Cool, man. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.